Glory to you, O Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, O Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to you, O Word of God, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit led Jesus out into the desert, and he remained there for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angels came and ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The gospel of the Lord. In my homiletic reflections, I frequently give the references, the places in the Word of God to find the Word which is proclaimed and to find an infrastructure of other comments or teachings of Scripture. I do this to encourage you to read and reflect and pray the Word of God. Not just here, but when you leave here, to take the Word of God and to reflect on it, to take down your Bible. I often ask people, think for a moment where your Bible is in home. Everybody has a Bible? Where is your Bible? It's under Sports Illustrated or some magazine somewhere. That's where it is in your life. If it's just one more book, it's just one more book in your life. I encourage you to keep the book of life opened in your house so that it remains a living word. The text which we have today for our gospel reading comes from the opening chapter of Mark. It's about the testing of Jesus. It has a parallel in chapter 4 in Matthew, and in chapter 4 in the Gospel of Luke. However, in Matthew and Luke, there is much more detail about the individual testing of Jesus, three tests given to Jesus. And it says Jesus is led by the Spirit. Now, when you read this text about the testing of Jesus, and testing is better by way of a translation than tempting, testing of Jesus, it's full of symbolism. So don't take everything entirely literally. It's meant to symbolize something, and it's meant to have in it an invitation to each of us. Led by the Spirit into the wilderness, better word than desert, the Eremos, a place of darkness. He is alone in the wilderness. Wild beasts, all the symbolism of the aloneness, fasting, a very discalced experience of aloneness in a place of wilderness. For 40 days, not 41 or 39, it's not meant to be taken literally, but for a length of time. And it's meant to remember the people of Israel journeying from 40 years toward the promised land. What's also interesting is if you read Matthew's account, it has the angels come and minister to Jesus. Also appears in Mark, but doesn't appear in Luke. There's only one other place where angels come to minister to Jesus. And you'll find it in the 22nd chapter, verse 23, in the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus is in the agony at Gethsemane. And only Luke tells us an angel came to strengthen him. These are the only two references to the presence of an angel or angels coming to strengthen Jesus in a time of testing. These are times of testing. And the angels of God are sent to strengthen Jesus as he enters into the fullness of a human experience in the wilderness, being tested and fasting. That's some background on this. Interestingly, too, the three quotations that Jesus has in Matthew and in Luke come from the book of Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in your Bible, and it's the last book of the Torah. And it's Deuteronomy actually literally means second law. And it's called the book of the second law because in this book, Moses speaks again the Ten Commandments and many other laws dealing with the covenant of the people of Israel. So the quotations, "Not on bread alone does man live," comes from chapter 8, verse 3 in Deuteronomy. And the second quotation, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and him only shall you not test," comes from chapter 6, verse 16. And the third one from chapter 6, verse 13. You can look these up. What does this mean to us as we go through a journey of Lent? Is this all distant, or does it have approximate and immediate impact on our journey of Lent? Whatever happens by way of spiritual transformation in Lent happens from the inside. It does not happen because externally we make some sacrifice, or we give up something, and then we whine about it. Or we tell everybody, "God, it's fabulous. I conquer something." It's an achievement. This is not transformation. Transformation happens from inside out. So what happens inside of us in the journey of Lent? That's the grace of transformation. So let us look at the symbolism of these three testings of Jesus referred to in our gospel today. The first one is Jesus is hungry. And the devil, by the way, the devil is the one who quotes scripture. You know, a lot of people say, "I know the Bible," but the devil knows the Bible too. The fact that you know the Bible is not an ultimate sign of holiness. Just thought I'd say that. The fact that I know something about the Bible does not mean I'm a holy man. Keep that in mind. So the devil quotes the scripture and says to Jesus, "Turn these stones into bread, because you're hungry." And Jesus says, "Not on bread alone does man live, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God," from Deuteronomy chapter 8. What does it mean to us? The symbolism of this. It has to do somehow with our physical needs. All the things we gather around us. Do you ever become kind of irksome or difficult about some of the physical things that are around you and think, "If I had more of this, my life would be more fulfilled. If only I could win the lotto, I would be a happy person." It has to do with asking God for the physical things or resisting giving up physical things. The interior disposition of generosity, overlooking things. Do you get excited about something, upset about something, even something passing? And Jesus says, don't base your life on these physical things. I don't care what it is, the money, your position, your importance, don't base your life on that. Man does not live on these things alone. You can survive on these things, but you can't live on these things. To be alive, you must somehow detach yourself. You don't have to give them up. You have to detach yourself. I remember years ago, there was a TV advertisement to say, come visit your money. I think it was Glendale Savings. Come visit your money. I thought, I'm supposed to go visit my money? I thought my money was supposed to take care of me. Well, why do I wake up in the middle of the night and worry about the stock market? I thought it was supposed to take care of me. Man does not live by bread alone. What does this mean to us in this journey of Lent? The second temptation is Jesus is taken to the pinnacle of the temple. And the devil says, throw yourself down because the angels will hold you up. Witness a powerful God. We like to belong to a powerful God. We do not like to belong to a God in the wilderness. Losing control. Where have you lost control in your life? I don't mean that you give up control. I mean, in Lent, we choose. We elect to give up certain things. But how about when you don't elect to give it up, it's taken away from you? Well, it could be taken away in many ways through your aging process. It could be taken away because somebody takes something from you, resists you, a rebellious child, a difficult teenager, a wild father-in-law or contentious mother-in-law. I mean, what is it? Or a son or a daughter-in-law that causes you a lot of anxiety. You lose control. You used to have control over this household. Now you don't have control. You lost control at your job. The new boss is a pain. Difficult. You got sick and you had to depend on other people. You lost control. This is a wilderness experience, and very frequently, the experience of losing control, you are very alone. You're very alone. You can't quite explain to people, and it's embarrassing sometimes to explain to people why I'm so upset because I lost control. Think about that in the journey of Lent. And the third testing of Jesus takes him to a high mountain. And some of you, I see a lot of pilgrims here, have been to the Mount of Temptation, just west of Jericho. That's where tradition has it, is the Mount of Temptation. By the way, there's up at the top, if you are really enterprising and you climb all the way to the top, there's a monastery up there with three monks. I don't know about these fellows. Why, they don't kill one another. They're just living up there all the time by themselves. I went up there once. Monsignor Turgis and I went all the way up, and we met these monks. And one of them, a brother with a long beard, living up there by himself. And he said, where are you from? We said, Los Angeles. And he said, do you know where Valencia is? Oh, yeah. He said, I used to live in Valencia. Oh, really? Wow. This is a long way from Valencia. The top of the mountain. That's where tradition has it. The devil takes Jesus to a high mountain, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. And he said, if you will compromise yourself and bow down before me, I'll give you all the things of the world, says the devil. Now, where in life does this come true for us? Where do we lie a little bit or cheat a little bit? Where does greed drive us? God knows we live in a culture that has a predominant greed in it. What do we hoard we will not share? Where do we run into this in life? We don't want to share with who? Undocumented persons? Poor people? Get on the bus people? I'm hoarding, I'm holding, I'm grasping, even in your own families. What are you hoarding? What is it that if somebody touches you, say, don't touch it, it's mine. This is mine, and I'm not going to share it. I have a right to this. And sometimes we might cut corners. We might somehow compromise ourselves in order to cling to the things we covet. There's a marvelous line in Man for All Seasons where Thomas More is condemned to death. He's the Chancellor of the realm, and all he has to do is sign a document, and his daughter Meg comes to see him in prison awaiting his execution, and she said, Father, all you have to do is sign a piece of paper saying the king is greater than the pope, or the king will be head of the church. Sign this paper and you will be free. And he says, Meg, a man's integrity is like water he holds in his hands. And if he opens his fingers and it falls through, he may lose himself and never find himself again. Where have we lost ourselves? The purity of our ideals, the quality of our character. That's the symbolism of this temptation. And so, my friends, wherever your wilderness is, your place of darkness, your place of aloneness, that's a place of grace. That's a place of revelation. It's a place of power, not the power of the world, but the power of Jesus Christ. So wherever you find yourself in this journey of Lent, in this darkness, the eremos, the wilderness, the aloneness, the wild symbol of the wild animals, deprived, you have to fast. Look for the presence of Jesus Christ.